Well, hey guys, thanks of course for tuning in to the Dan Time Podcast, bringing you weekly guests from what I call around the Daniverse. Today's guest is, it's a really big deal for me. I was born in Chicago, always had an interest in Chicago area sports, always had an interest, as you know, in baseball. And the great thing about this podcast is being able to tell somebody's story, get somebody's name on your radar. And, you know, I had a guest, I think it was Dan Harrison, that said, there's Dan's doing great things out there. And so there's always more to discover. But today's a really big deal to bring Windy City Thunderbolts right-handed pitcher Dan Brown to the show. Dan, how's it going today?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Well, thanks for being here, Dan. The Thunderbolts, this is the second Frontier League team that we've highlighted, the Tri-City Valley Cats being the first one with Dan Beebe, if you guys remember a few months back. It was maybe the end of last year. But Windy City plays out of the Frontier League, and Dan is a standout from the Pace Setters Division II, hometown East Northport, New York, attended John Glenn High School. Dan, I guess I could start anywhere, but I'm kind of curious, did you play other sports growing up? Was baseball kind of the early passion? How did it all start?
Yeah, baseball was definitely the early passion. It was definitely my main sport, like, throughout my youth and, like, going into high school and stuff like that. I did also play basketball, though, but nothing ever really serious, like, mostly just, you know, pickup games with friends and rec league and stuff like that.
In high school, did you have a – this is kind of a question I thought I might drop later in the episode, but is there a baseball memory, whether it was Little League, you know, 12U, or some game or some moment on the mound that you just still think about where you pumped your fist and it was a big victory or just a big inning? Is there something from your baseball past that nobody has ever seen in a box score and you haven't talked about?
Yeah, I mean, in high school, I think it was probably my junior year of high school when that's really when I started to have the success that I really wanted to have on the baseball field. And there is a one start. It was against, like, a school that was way bigger than mine. My school, like, a little bit of background, my school was pretty small. Our graduating class was, like, around 170 kids, and we were playing a school that was, like, way bigger than us. And I think I threw six shutout innings against them, and that I just remember, like, that really instilled a confidence that I didn't really have before, you know, pitching against a big school with, you know, some college commits and stuff like that. I had, like, a newfound confidence after that game, for sure.
Dan, how cool is it when you're rolling like that, you're three or four innings in, do you see the coaches, not just the players on the other side, but the coaches in the dugout taking notice of, like, who's this guy? What's happening here?
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, the year before that, that was like my first year on varsity, my sophomore year, and it didn't really go, like, as well as I'd hoped it would. But the next year, you know, I was, like, since it was a pretty small school, I was able to, you know, get an opportunity to start, and I kind of ran with it, and my coaches, you know, they showed all the support they could in trying to developed me to be the best player I could, and I definitely saw that they were proud of me for it.
Well, looking ahead, and I always jump around on the timeline, but your journey to Pace and the experience there, I think 2023, you're in the bullpen, 2024, you're a starter. Your final season there at Pace, named NE10 Southwest Division Pitcher of the Year. You earned all first team all NE10 honors. You're also a two-time NE10 honor roll member. Tell me about, because I know that with Windy City, you've been pitching out of the bullpen. How is it on particularly a pitcher? You know, that assignment might change each year depending on the organization or the level. How have you handled that?
I'm lucky because in college I had, like, a lot of experience in different roles. like before my senior year in college, I was out of the bullpen, like you said. I had done some long relief stuff, some middle relief, so I've closed games. I've done pretty much everything out of the bullpen. So that transition into professional baseball, that made it a lot easier because I've had that experience in multiple roles in college. So it was the transition wasn't as hard as it would seem.
Here's a cool stat line from the 2023 season, which I guess waking up that morning, you didn't know that this is what was going to happen that day, but April 7th, 2023, at Adelphi, you come out of the bullpen for 7 2/3 innings of work, which is more than the average starter nowadays would go. Well beyond. You fan 8 hitters, get the win. Tell me about that day, what you remember from it.
Yeah, that was definitely one of my best pitching performances in college, for sure. It was an extra inning game, so I think I came in like the sixth or seventh inning, and then it ends up going into extra innings. And you know, my coach just had a lot of confidence in me that day, and he just kind of rode me out the rest of the game. But I was definitely in like a flow state, if you will, the entire game. I just felt great.
Here's another one, Dan. In summer league ball, I think this is 2023 and correct me if I get anything wrong here, the Nassau Collegians. June 18th at Valor, you pitch 5 no-hit innings, 8 strikeouts. Obviously, you remember that, but explain for the listeners in that league and what's going on and the parameters there. Are you 5 innings in thinking I might get to go the distance, which would be 7 innings, or do you know that, hey, I've got a limit here and I'd love to get the complete game no-hitter, but how does it work in that situation?
Yeah, I think it depends on pitch count also. It's a summer league, so not to say that it's not taken seriously, but you know, they also want to make sure that guys are healthy when they go back to their school in the fall. So there, definitely pitch count was an issue. I was probably around like 90 pitches if I had to guess. So I wasn't necessarily mad that I was taken out. I would have loved to finish the game, obviously, and you know, get a bid for a no-hitter, but you know, the situation was what it was.
Again, bouncing around some more, because I really want to, I'm chomping at the bit to talk about your first season in professional ball with Windy City. And I broke it down here, Dan. I got deep into the game-by-game, month-by-month numbers here because I like to stick up for the relief pitcher. I did this with Dan Winkler. Dan, in July, from July to August of your first season with Windy City, you lowered your ERA 72 points from 386 to 314. You were called on, you know, some other situations, some long innings, July 7th, 3 shutout innings at Washington, 4 strikeouts. Tell me a little bit about this first season, how you felt about it, and what your what your goals are for 2025.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely an adjustment for sure, going from the Division II competition to professional baseball. It can be a big jump for sure, but I think I did like have a rocky start when I first got there. But once I settled in and found my groove and, you know, established some confidence in the league, I think, you know, I definitely have the capability to be a very good relief pitcher in the league. And then going into this year, there's been some talk of me, you know, competing to be a starter this year. But, you know, that's up for determination, like during, you know, the first couple weeks of spring training and stuff. So yeah, I mean, I'm definitely looking to, you know, be able to attack hitters consistently, walk less guys, strike out as many guys as I can, and have some success this year.
You get a lot of strikeouts. I had the ratio written down here, just averaging just under 2 strikeouts per inning. What's your? Can you talk about your pitch arsenal? Are you a two seam fastball, cut fastball, changeup? What kind of pitches do you like to go out there with?
Yeah, so last year I was, during the professional season, I was mainly just fastball slider. I was throwing a four-seam, but it has, like, a lot of run in on righty, so it kind of plays more like a two seam. And then I threw like a big, you know, breaking sweeper. And that was really the only two pitches I was throwing. I think I get a lot of strikeouts mainly because of my deception. I throw from a pretty low arm slot that can be, you know, tough on hitters, especially right-handed hitters. And then going into this season, I also added a cutter to just kind of have something between the fastball and the big breaking sweeper, just to, you know, have hitters kind of have to make like one more swing decision in there. So yeah, and then I also have a changeup too, but I don't throw it that often as the other three pitches.
Another kind of footnote that I noticed is you're the youngest pitcher on the staff last season at 21 years old.
Yeah.
Is that something that that you really notice or think about, or are you just going about your business?
I mean, I have noticed it for sure, but you can't really like think about it, you know, especially like when you're out there competing, you know, that you're on the same level playing field when there's a batter in the box. So, you know, you can't really think about that. Just go out there and compete and just try and get guys out.
I want to drop real quick the website for the Thunderbolts, wcthunderbolts.com. First game is for this season is May 8th at Schaumburg. Another thing I noticed, Dan, is that you guys might play a three-game series, but maybe regionally, if it's in the Chicagoland area with somebody like Schaumburg or Joliet, that you'll play like home at or home away home kind of a sequence.
Yeah, yeah.
That's something you don't see in a lot of other leagues.
Yeah, no, it's not too bad, honestly. Like it sounds worse than it is, just because both Joliet and Schaumburg are really close. I think it's like around like a 30-minute bus ride, so it's not too bad of a trip at all. So I honestly don't really mind it.
Now, what are some things that you like to do? Just say when you wake up in the morning, is there a routine that you have to stick with? Are you a coffee guy? Are there breakfast spots that you like to go to there? You guys are about 30 minutes south of Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, my morning routine it's not like a crazy one. I'm not really a caffeine guy at all. I don't really like have energy drinks or coffee or anything like that. But I will go to this one diner that's like around the corner from the apartment where I stay at. I'll go there a lot. They have some really good breakfast there. So.
Now, when you're not pitching, and let's say it's just the middle of the off season, what do you like to do? What's something that people maybe wouldn't suspect that, you know, that Dan Brown likes to do when he's just hanging out?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a pretty basic guy. I mean, I just, you know, I enjoy fitness a lot. I enjoy taking care of my body. I think I've gotten really into that, like especially, you know, in like the last couple of years of college and now going into professional. I think it's really important. Taking care of your body, just especially like being a baseball player and, you know, and a relief pitcher, like having to be ready to perform every day. So I enjoy taking care of my body and, you know, going to the gym, eating right, all that. So.
Well said. Yeah. Especially at any age, but I could see with pitchers, and maybe we saw this more 20 or 30 years ago where you'd see guys that look like if you saw them in an airport, you maybe wouldn't even know that they're an athlete.
Yeah.
But some of that has changed. I mean, you know, Greg Maddux is like that example. It's not like out of shape, but just you just wouldn't know with some guys. But I can see where that's important to you. I also noticed that on your pace profile listed at 6'3", 175, Windy City, I think 6'4", 190. Have you added some mass, some muscle?
Yeah, I definitely have. I definitely, since like I got to college also, like when I was first getting into college, I think I was like around like 6'3", 150 pounds. So, and now I'm probably around like 6'4", 205. So I gained like around 50 pounds in that time span. And it was honestly like really necessary just to, you know, keep my body healthy and moving the way I want and just becoming stronger. Also, it was definitely necessary.
Now, tell me about Ozinga Field. What you like about the home park there?
Yeah, I mean, at Ozinga, I really love the field. I love the mound. The mound is really good quality. And then I feel like this is a pretty unpopular opinion, but I enjoy playing on like a pristine turf field more than a really good dirt field. Like there's some really good dirt fields in our league, like Schaumburg and Evansville and fields like that. But I would much rather play on a nice turf mound for sure. And then also the fans. The fans are great. They show out at every game and they show their support really well. So that's always nice too.
Yeah, I could see where the fans appreciate. Probably a little easier to get in and out. I mean, I love Wrigley Field. It's been a long time, but going to sporting events in Chicago. But depending on people's budget or what have you, just the game experience for the kids, sometimes it is fun. You get home and you haven't spent a couple $100.
Yeah, no, it's they really do have a great ballpark experience. They have a bunch of promo nights, a bunch of different days during the week. So they make the experience for the fans enjoyable for sure.
But I know the ultimate goal is to get to the big leagues. I saw Tyler LaPorte sign with the Braves organization. Did you have a chance to get to know Tyler when he was there last season?
Yeah, he's great. He's great for sure. He's definitely a different personality than I'm used to. He's from Louisiana and I'm from Long Island, so I don't really get to see a lot of Southerners. But he's awesome, man. He's a really good guy.
Another thing with the pitcher, Dan. This I wanted to ask about this. When you go out there and the box score doesn't always show, or the average fan doesn't know that what you're walking into. How many, when you walk out there or you're called upon and there's runners on the corners, nobody out, bases loaded, one out, and you're walking into, I guess, a dirty inning, and you get out of the inning, but a couple runs scratch across, one or both are not charged to you. How do relief pitchers feel about the unearned run and the earned run and how that impacts your stats?
I'm personally not a huge stats guy. I try not to look at my stats until like the end of the year, but at the end of the day, I think what you want to do is you just want to put your team in the best position to win. Then, you know, you just, at the end of the day, it's just getting guys out and just trying to simplify the game. Like if you come into a dirty inning, just, you know, have a plan for attacking a hitter, like whether it's, you know, trying to get a ground ball or having it be a strikeout situation. Whatever it takes to, you know, have your team have the best possible chance to win. I think that's the mindset to have.
Dan, I love what you just said there. Not paying attention to the stats, giving your guys a chance to win. And I bet that sometimes some of those outings where you have surrendered a run, I also want to point out, Dan, you do not give up the long ball very much. I wanted to throw that out there. But also just your demeanor on the mound, maybe something that you're doing out there that kind of your guys are taking notice on the field. They go back up there to hit and have a little bit extra enthusiasm or energy. I guess that has to play into it.
Yeah, I mean, on the mound, like whether it's like a good or bad pitch or a good or bad situation, I always try and keep an even keel demeanor. You know, showing that, you know, you can't let your opponent or the situation that you're in get on your skin, and just staying, you know, cool and collected on the mounds is really important for me.
Well, Dan, how about just, you know, some family stuff? Do you have brothers and sisters? What do you, when you're back home in Long Island, what's it like around the Brown household?
Yeah, I mean, I have a sister, I have a younger sister. Her name's Juliana. And I live with both my parents during the off season, also, which is nice. But yeah, Brown household is pretty normal, I'd say. I mean, you know, nothing too crazy happens around here.
And how proud were your parents when you're just going through the ranks, you know, from high school to college to Windy City? What's it like with do you text with your dad? They come to the games. How cool is that when you just have that support?
Yeah, it's really important to me. It's awesome to have their support. I text with my dad like almost every day, I'd say, yeah, we're always talking baseball, and both my parents will visit in Illinois as much as they can. So it's just really nice to have their support.
Well, maybe a couple more silly questions here. The old Dan time question. Sometimes I forget to ask. It's not even that interesting, maybe to some people. when did you start going by Dan? Did a friend start calling you Dan, or did you decide on your own?
Yeah, I think I decided on my own. I was really young, probably like in, elementary school around there. I think I just, was tired of my mom and my friends calling me the same thing. So I think my friends just started calling me Dan.
I love it. Any Dan spinoff name that you will not answer to that you don't like?
No, not really. I mean, I've gotten pretty much all of them. Daniel, Dan, Danny. I'll answer to any of them. I know they're talking to me, so.
Are you familiar with the author, Dan Brown?
Yes. My dad is also named Dan Brown. So he's, gone through the same things that I've gone through with the name Dan. And he has like a couple of his books, I'm pretty sure. So, yeah.
I love it. Well, another thing, I maybe haven't said it on other episodes, but the concept of the show, it's not Dan's seeking attention. It's more that if you are a Dan, people place the attention on you, or it's always, you shake the hand. Hey, what's your name? I'm Dan. Oh, Dan the man. So,
yeah, that's a popular one.
Yeah.
I've gotten.
All right, Dan. Well, this has been terrific. Anything that you like to plug that you're interested in, or really anything that you'd like to talk about that we haven't covered?
No, I think we've covered a lot of good stuff. Thank you again for having me on.
Well, anytime, and I'll continue following your career. Again, folks, if you're in the Chicagoland area, check them out. You've heard me talk about the Frontier League. It's a great product, and it's probably, keep an eye out, there may be an expansion team close to where you live as well. Dan, I forgot to ask you this. Growing up, who was your favorite team? Was it a New York area team?
Yeah, I grew up a Mets fan. I was at Citi Field, a good amount during my, coming up and stuff. So, definitely a Mets fan. And my dad's also a huge Mets fan.
You think Juan Soto is the missing link there?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I think he's definitely one of the best, like, overall players in the sport. And, I think that, that type of ability is just invaluable. So I think we'll see. But I think he'll definitely bolster that lineup for sure.
Okay. If you got time, I got two, maybe three favorites questions. And I promise I'll wrap it up here. But favorite ball player growing up?
I'd say probably either David Wright for a position player and Jacob DeGrom as a pitcher.
How about favorite sports memory? And it could be, it could be NFL, could be NBA, doesn't have to be baseball, but do you have a favorite sports memory championship that you watched?
I would say I went to David Wright's last game at Citi Field. I think that's probably my best, professional sports memory.
Nice. And then when it comes to baseball movies, are you one of those, do you nerd out on the baseball movies?
Yeah, I love a good baseball movie. My favorite is probably, I'd probably have to say The Sandlot. I think that's nice. Just a classic. Moneyball is also great too. Love that movie.
I was hoping you were going to say The Sandlot. I love Moneyball as well.
Yeah, no, they're both great. Love them.
Well, Dan, once again, thanks for making some Dan time today. This has been fantastic.
And yeah, of course. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Well, you guys check them out. You can follow. I don't know if you're active on social media, Dan.
Yeah, I have an Instagram.
If you want people to follow or check out Dan Brown, I will list that in the show notes. That is it for this episode of the Dan Time Podcast. Thanks for listening. Tell a friend about it. Tell your dad about it. Tell your Uncle Dan. If your name's not Dan, you have a Dan in your life that you know will get something out of this show. And I can't wait for baseball season and to follow Dan Brown and the Thunderbolts. Thanks so much, Dan. And we will see you guys next Sunday for another episode of the Dan Time Podcast. All right. Thanks, man.
Yeah, thank you so much.